Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Today's program is about air quality and economic development along the Baja California border. Can we have both? Can we have economic development and clean air? This is what the whole meeting is about. We're going to hear from excellent speakers on this. And Governor Elordi sends his apologies for the fact that he had to stay in Mexico City and fight for some of the Baja California interests. As you probably know, Mexico, my country, is going through a very heavy political change in this last few months. And through this change, it requires the activity, the dedication, the presence of all the participants, and especially Baja California, who has been one of the key elements of this change, has to be present in there. Therefore, we're going to have the Director of Ecology of the State of Baja California representing the governor, and I'm going to ask Dr. Jorge Escobar to come here and bring us the message from the governor, Eugenio Elordi. Please welcome Jorge Escobar.
The governor of Baja California asked me to share with you some remarks related with these important meetings. First of all, good afternoon. Welcome all of you to Forum Fronterizo. It is good to see you all again. So, as you may know, this is a letter especially written by him, so I have to avoid this last word. It's an honor to have you here and give me this opportunity as a governor of Baja California and chair of Foro Fronterizo public programs for this year to share with you some remarks about what Foro Fronterizo is. Since 1997, Foro Fronterizo has been examining issues of significant importance to the sustainable development of the San Diego Baja California region. We are dedicated to the serious discussion of the major bilateral issues that face us every day and shape our future together. We believe that these exchanges are one way to provide a greater awareness of the challenges and opportunities that face this region and to build consensus on binational initiatives to build a better future. The Forum Fronterizo is the culmination of the goodwill, wisdom, and effort of many Mexicans and many Americans, community leaders like those who represent of this room, who have realized the benefits of greater cooperation and knowledge of each other. I want to extend a heartfelt thanks to all of our sponsors of this year's Forum Fronterizo series. We are thrilled at this wonderful civic leadership from both sides of our border. Our program today will address air quality and economic development along the California-Baja California border. Can we have both? This is always an important topic to look at, but recently it has become more relevant and polemic. As we move ahead with projects to modernize the region and provide it with the infrastructure needed to generate employment and a better standard of living for our population. It is important that we monitor the quality of the air, identify the sources of pollution, and take the steps necessary to maintain a healthy environment without stifling the growth prospects of our region. I look forward to Chuck Nadenson and our distinguished health speakers from EPA, Amy Simpson, and SEMARNAT, Sergio Sanchez, educating us about the nature and extent of air pollution in the Baja California and California border region, and informing us about the actions that are being taken and will be taken in the future to protect our habitat and improve the quality of our environment. Thank you.
I have three tasks, so I'm going to be before you for just a few minutes here. One is to introduce our wonderful speakers for the day. Second is to review the background paper that we provided everyone on this subject. And the third, then, is to moderate the discussion after our speakers have finished. I'm going to be gender incorrect, but appropriate as a host. I'm going to introduce Sergio Sanchez Martinez from Mexico City first. He is an environmental engineer with 16 years of experience in pollution prevention and control and environmental management. In April of 2002, he was appointed General Director for Air Quality Management and Pollutants Registry at SEMARNAT, the Mexican Secretariat for Environment and Natural Resources. His major responsibilities include the implementation of the National Air Quality Policy at the federal level, as well as the integration of the mandatory toxic release inventory program for Mexico. He has participated in the Mexico City Air Quality Project conducted by Dr. Mario Molina, a Nobel laureate from Mexico, and Dr. Luisa Molina, both of whom also teach at MIT, and the program aimed at strengthening the scientific basis for the improvement of air quality in the Mexico City metropolitan area. Sergio Sanchez was born in Mexico City and studied environmental engineering at the Metropolitan University. He also graduated from the Leadership for Sustainable Development program at LEED through a fellowship from the Rockefeller Foundation. He, along with our other guest speaker, is co-chair of the Binational Air Quality Workshop. Amy Zimpfer joined the Environmental Protection Agency's Region 9 office in San Francisco in 1981. Doesn't look old enough to have done that. The Region 9 office works to protect the environments of the southwestern part of the United States, Arizona, California, Nevada, and Hawaii, the Pacific Islands, and 139 Native American tribes. Ms. Zimpfer has served as Deputy Director of the Air Division for 5 years. She also served as Acting Director of the Air Division from September 2000 through March of 2001. The Air Division, with over 100 people and multi-million-dollar budgets, is responsible for clean air and clear skies, as well as protection from sources of radiation. Prior to her current position, Ms. Zimpfer served as Senior Policy Advisor to the Regional Administrator, Chief of the Wetlands, Oceans, and Estuaries Branch and Watershed Protection Branch. For 5 years, she served as Director of the San Francisco Estuary Project, a locally based effort involving over 120 people to develop consensus on a comprehensive plan to restore the San Francisco Bay and Delta. Ms. Zimpfer is a registered civil engineer in the state of California. She received a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering from the University of Colorado in Boulder, Colorado. So let's welcome our guests. We always appreciate it these days when people suffer air travel in order to come here and share their thoughts with us. Now, for my second task, I want to review quickly for you the highlights of the background paper that was prepared by San Diego Dialogue and especially by Julio Lempel, our border director for this program. Thank you, Julio. Rapid growth in the California-Baja California border region, particularly since NAFTA, has created environmental challenges and concerns, not the least of which is in the area of air quality. At the same time, an immense opportunity exists for Baja California to consolidate a long-term, ample supply of secure and reasonably priced energy. Last year, we held a forum Fronterizo on this opportunity and its implications for the development of advanced manufacturing in Baja California. Investment in new energy projects, like development generally, raises significant environmental concerns in the area of air quality. These concerns must be satisfactorily addressed in order to achieve the developmental potential of the region. Thus, the special importance of promoting a serious and inclusive public dialogue about the extent, sources, and transport of air pollution along the California-Baja California border. At issue is a fundamental question. Can the region experience both development and improved air quality? Public opinion seems inclined to believe that development leads inevitably to environmental degradation. In this line of thinking, the latest culprits are viewed as power plants being established in Baja California. Yet the story of San Diego shows that air quality can actually be improved as a region develops economically. The number of days with ozone exceeding the one-hour federal clean air standard has gone in San Diego from 87 in 1980 to zero in 1999 and 2000. Carbon monoxide emissions have diminished from 2,956 tons per day in 1980 to 1,382 tons a day in 2000, and they are expected to continue to fall. The nitrogen oxide emissions and the VOX emissions I'll get to in just a moment. Despite achieving one of the highest economic growth rates in California, increasing its population from 1.9 million in 1981 to over 2.8 million in 2000, and more than doubling the number of miles traveled by combustion engine vehicles during this period, overall air quality in San Diego has significantly improved in the past 20 years. And as you saw on the last slide, NOx and volatile organic compounds have also been reduced. As we did the research for this event and prepared the document that has been distributed to you, we looked for the facts about air quality in our region and about the sources of emissions on both sides of the border. We found that the principal sources of emissions that produce unhealthy air are unpaved roads, combustion engine vehicles, and agricultural activities such as tilling and animal feedlots. I would like to summarize our main findings. Air quality is not currently a major problem in the Tijuana-San Diego air basin, despite its size and dynamism. In particular, San Diego is within federal standards for four of the five criteria pollutants regularly monitored by both U.S. and Mexico authorities: sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, carbon monoxide, and particulate matter. Only in the case of ozone does San Diego occasionally exceed EPA standards, and half of the time this occurs because of transportation from the Los Angeles area. Ozone, of course, is not emitted directly into the atmosphere, but derives from reactions between nitrogen oxides and volatile organic compounds in the presence of heat and sunlight. Motor vehicles in San Diego generate 92% of nitrogen oxide and 63% of VOC emissions. The most significant pollutant in Tijuana is PM10, particulate matter 10, and three-quarters of it comes from unpaved roads. Vehicles are responsible for most of the emissions of ozone precursors, 82% of nitrogen oxides, and 48% of volatile organic compounds. Energy generation accounted for 10.8% of NOx before the Rosarito power plants started to burn natural gas. These figures are from 1998. Mexicali is a non-attainment area for ozone and carbon monoxide, and the concentration level of PM10 is considered serious. Most emissions of ozone precursors, 81% of nitrogen oxides and 61% of VOC, come from motor vehicles. 91.1% of carbon monoxide comes from the same source. 94% of PM10 comes from fugitive dust, largely from the use of unpaved roads and to a lesser degree from wind erosion. Imperial County is a non-attainment area for ozone and for particulate matter. In the case of ozone, 78% of nitrogen oxides and 63% of VOC come from motor vehicles. The biggest air pollution problem is PM10, which has been linked to asthma and other health problems. 54% of PM10 in Imperial County comes from fugitive dust, and another 30% from agricultural tilling and animal feedlots. The two new power plants due to begin operations shortly in Mexicali will marginally affect air quality in the air basin. The combined impact of both plants on total emissions of carbon monoxide and PM10 will be very small, 0.9% and 1.3% respectively of total CO and PM10 emissions in Mexicali. However, in the case of nitrogen oxide emissions from one of the plants, the one with less stringent emissions control technology, there will be a considerable impact equivalent to 10% of Mexicali's total emissions of this contaminant. Some policy implications. New power plants and other industries that seek to establish themselves in the region should continue to be subject to environmental regulations so as to keep their emissions to safe and acceptable levels. This includes using cleaner fuels, such as natural gas, as well as the best available emissions control technologies. However, emission control efforts should not be solely focused on industry point sources when the evidence shows that vehicles, agricultural activities, and unpaved roads bear the most responsibility for producing unhealthy air. In Tijuana, even though ozone is not a major problem today, it could become one if steps aren't taken to control vehicle emissions. The other significant problem in Tijuana, particulate matter, can be greatly reduced by paving roads. At the same time, steps should be taken to ensure that the CFE power plants in Rosarito burn only natural gas and to encourage other industry and even households to switch from fuel oil and diesel to natural gas. In the case of Mexicali, Imperial County, where PM10 emissions are a particularly urgent issue, efforts should be centered on finding ways to reduce dust from unpaved roads and agricultural activity on both sides of the border. Best management practices for tillage and harvest, non-cropland and cropland are available to reduce PM10 emissions while minimizing negative economic impacts on local agriculture. Both carbon monoxide and ozone levels could be most effectively reduced through vehicle emissions control programs. Even though they are not formally recognized as such, San Diego, Tijuana, and Mexicali Imperial Valley constitute common air basins. Official recognition of this fact would be useful to enhance binational cooperation efforts and perhaps allow more ambitious measures such as cross-border mitigation. Finally, the search should continue throughout the region for alternative and cleaner sources of energy such as solar, wind, geothermal, and biomass. In conclusion, by bringing air quality into compliance in the areas where it is not, we can create a greater capacity for economic development. This is especially important in the area of energy generation where, as the Forum Fronterizo on Energy revealed, Baja California has the opportunity to consolidate a long-term, ample supply of secure and reasonably priced energy to meet current and projected demand in the state and to attract new industries, especially in the high-tech manufacturing sector. Energy from Baja California can also be important to help meet the doubling of demand expected in San Diego by 2030, as the recent San Diego Regional Energy Infrastructure Study points out. Thank you for your attention to this. Now it's my pleasure to ask Sergio Sanchez to help us understand what the current efforts are in the Baja California area and what the future plans are in the Baja California area.
First of all, it is a great privilege for me to be here with you, sharing our thoughts, sharing our information about the air quality management situation, not only in Baja California, but in Mexico. For that, we have prepared a presentation that is just to be ready. But before to start, I want to express my appreciation to Chuck and Julio and all the organizers of this meeting for let us be here and not only have the chance to talk to you, but also to start a communication channel in order we could continue this dialogue, this communication, not just today, but in the future. The question which Chuck mentioned about if we could have both economic development and good air quality has an only answer, yes, not only because it's possible, but because we have the right. In the Mexican Constitution, we have now the mandate under one of the of our articles saying that every people has the right to enjoy an environment suitable for the development and welfare. So it is our obligation to look for the compliance of this mandate. But also says that correspond to the state to guide the national development to guarantee its integrality and sustainability, strengthening nation's sovereignty and its democratic regime by promoting economic growth and unemployment as a fair distribution of income and welfare for our population. So it's a right, it's a mandate, and there are obligations from the different levels of government and from the country at all to comply with these major mandates. In the last decade, in Mexico were made significant efforts to reduce air pollution. In terms of fuel consumption, for example, in spite of the continuous growth of energy demand and consumption, significant changes were introduced. For example, in the graph you are looking at, we see the gasoline total consumption we have had since the last decade, since the year 90 to the year 2000, which has been increased. In that period of time, Mexico eliminated, definitively phased out the lead consumption, introducing the unleaded gasoline, eliminated one of the major public health problems we had, that which was very, very important in the early 90s. Only to remind to those interested in public health problems, we used to have around three or almost four times the levels established by the public protection, health public protection standards. Also, there has been an evolution in terms of the standards for new vehicles. Mexico had very lax standards by the late 80s. In the year 1991, for the first time, cars with catalytic converters were introduced. And starting from that, the emission standards for new vehicles have been made more stringent, and now reaching the standards that were introduced in the United States through the EPA 1994 standards. And we are on the way to continue having the same train by complying with the same standards that you are doing in Mexico City. Of course, this is an improvement, but also we have to recognize that we have a big problem related with the old technology, with the old cars that still remain on our streets, which are still a major proportion, which were not designed under emission control regulations and that are also high energy consumers. What are our goals? What are our major objectives? They are reflected, as you have in the United States, with the criteria air pollutants. There is a comparison between Mexican and U.S. air quality standards where we can see that our standards are quite similar for all pollutants. In fact, just this week in Mexico was introduced a new project to establish a standard for PM2.5, particulate matter less than 2.5 micrometers in size, which are very important for health protection. The necessity to measure air pollution is widely recognized in Mexico. This is the only way in which we could know where we are and what is the amount of efforts we have to make in order to improve things. I have to remind that we just started to measure systematically air pollution in Mexico City in 1987. Starting from that, our air quality monitoring networks started to grow. In the year 1997, we had 12 areas with monitoring sites. In the year 2002, we have 24 areas with monitoring sites, and another 25 are in process. We have developed air quality programs at this moment for 7 major areas in the country, including Tijuana and Mexicali, in coordination with local authorities. And I will talk about this with more detail in the following slides. Talking about emission standards, the most relevant emission standards which are in place today are under review. These include the new standards for new vehicles, for gasoline and diesel, looking for the final introduction of the Tier 2 standard for vehicles being sold in Mexico, for in-use vehicles, for vehicles in circulation, both for gasoline and diesel, emissions from combustion processes, including emission limits from industrial plants, power generation, both for plants already in place and for new plants, commercial and service establishments. These standards already exist. What is being done is that the emission limits are being revised. Fuel specifications are also being reviewed, and emissions from cement plants. These are not all of them, but these are the most important ones that are being reviewed right now. Other major action is that we are in the process to improve regulation and enforcement for mobile source emissions. We are tightening emission limits for new and gasoline and diesel vehicles. As I mentioned, looking for the Tier 2 standards to be introduced in the year 2006. And for diesel, which are under discussion, but which are following the same trend than in U.S. and Europe. Developing emission standards and test procedure for induced diesel vehicles to be published in the early 2003. And also, which is very important, is the development of inspection and maintenance program at the federal level for induced diesel vehicles, because there's a recognition based on our emission inventory that this kind of transportation is one of the major causes of air pollution all around the country. There are actions in place also to improve the regulation to the industrial facilities, one through the permitting system with the environmental single license, which is right now in the process to be certified under the ISO 9000 standard. The inspection procedure has been improved. It's being more complete. And which is very important also, I would like to highlight this, is that we are in the process to prepare a joint national energy and environment program, which will be annual, and this is under preparation between the Energy Secretariat and SEMARNAT. In terms of the coordination with the states and municipality, coordination actions have been focused on the following areas: air quality monitoring, emission inventories, development of air quality plans, publication of information. In fact, I have several copies of the reports here. Integration of a national system for air quality information under construction, and the establishment of intersectorial, multi-stakeholders, and binational air quality committees in Ciudad Juarez. I forgot to put here Mexicali and Tijuana. We are in the process to establish our mandatory toxic release inventory. Our law and our environmental law was amended just last year, and we are in the process to develop the regulation which will allow us to have public information based on a database integrated by information coming from industrial plants, which will become available next year. Integrated information plant by plant, company by company, substance by substance, in order we could inform better the population and we could support better our decision-making process. Passing to the specific case of Tijuana and Mexicali. In the last 2 or 3 years, the air quality management programs for Tijuana and Mexicali have been issued. These programs have differences based on their particular local conditions, but basically they contain also measures in common to be put in place in both areas. Some of the most important ones that I want to highlight here for the discussion in this table is the implementation and enforcement of inspection and maintenance program as a recognition that transport and particularly mobile sources are one of the major sources of air pollution in the area. But also the reinforcement of vehicle inspection requirements, not only for the vehicles that are already here, but for the ones that are supposed to come in terms of the importer in used cars. Vehicle fleet renewal, as I mentioned, all cars could represent more than 50%, being less than 20% in terms of the total contribution to air pollution. Expansion of alternative fuel vehicle fuels, introduction of oxygenated low RVP gasoline, improvement of traffic infrastructure, mass transport improvement, introducing new patterns of growth and land use integrated to transport planning, which is one of the major challenges not only for Tijuana and Mexicali, but basically for all major urban areas of the world. Other measures include the establishment of a volatile organic compounds reduction program in industrial and service sectors, vapor recovery at both terminals, but also at gas stations, fuel switching of power plants, which was already mentioned as one of the priorities identified in the San Diego Dialogue study, reinforcement of state and municipal enforcement activities to industrial and service facilities, emission reduction from agriculture activities. In fact, there is already in place a measure to establish an atmospheric buffer area in Mexicali and Imperial County under the Baja California government jurisdiction. Road paving, a five-year program has already started, is going to start the year 2003, involving an investment of around $300 million for air quality and paving in Tijuana and Mexicali. Some additional actions are the updating and enhancement of emission inventories, which is considered a major necessity to have a better understanding and a sound basis to know where we should move, what if we don't do anything, and what if the measures we have considered are made a reality. Improvement of air quality monitoring and ensuring financial sustainability, environmental education and awareness, legal and institutional strengthening, etc. I have a set of slides for the development of a national emission inventory. I only want to highlight that thanks to a binational effort involving EPA, the Western Governors Association, and other institutions besides SEMARNAT, is leading us to improve our emission inventory, not only for specific regions, but to have a national perspective of our emissions in the whole country. I will finish with this one. Some of the necessary next steps is the reinforcement of the current air quality management programs, ensuring that they are complied and that the actions are made a reality. Development of the air quality component for the Binational Environment Program 2012, which Amy will talk about with more detail, which means updating information about current situation and trends, definition of agreements of medium and long-term air quality objectives and goals, and the development of a sound financial strategies to support the necessary environmental investments, as well as explore possibilities for binational emissions trading programs in border areas. There's not a single action. There are not silver bullets to control the air pollution problems we face anywhere. The solution requires the combination of a number of actions that requires also responsibility and participation for all the different sectors. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you. Excuse me for taking time.
Thank you for that very clear and optimistic presentation. Amy Zimfer.
Thank you very much. As we're getting the slides prepared here. I just want to start by thanking everyone, as did Sergio, Senor Mier and Senor Escobar. Thank you very much for opening up this event. And thank you very much, Chuck and Julio, for putting this together. It's indeed a great opportunity for me to have the ability to come and talk about the partnerships that have been developed not only binationally, but north of the border, and what I will spend some time talking about. You do not get environmental protection without a strong partnership between the federal, state, and local governments, as well as business and the environmental or public sector. This is what I plan to cover. The question of achieving clean air as the economy grows, I think the case has been made here in San Diego. It's very clear the answer to the question of can both economic benefit increase as well as the environment being protected, can those happen hand in hand? The answer is definitely yes, and you've seen that here in the San Diego, Tijuana area. I want to talk a little bit about what's happened over the last decade on emission control strategies by the federal, state, and local governments, talk a little bit about the tribal governments that we work with. I'll touch on the binational efforts, and then I want to spend as much time as possible on some ideas for innovations that are starting to be discussed, and then, as importantly, some potential funding sources. So achieving clean air as the economy grows. Usually, I always start these talks with what's this, the status of the air quality in the area, and Chuck did a very good job summarizing that for both the San Diego-Tijuana area as well as Mexicali and Imperial County. There was a footnote I wanted to highlight for folks. As you're looking towards the future, most people here are probably aware that the U.S. government has established new standards for ozone based on an 8-hour standard, as well as new standards for particulate matter, that fine level. Just as Sergio said, they're starting to look at that in the Mexican side of things. And the story there for both San Diego and Imperial is not quite as great. You are seeing exceedances of the 8-hour ozone standard in both places, and new plans will need to be developed for those, as well as for the annual PM fine standard. And the significance of that is that we're going to be looking probably very closely at combustion sources when you're looking at the PM fine, because that's the fine particulate. And then on the ozone side, for San Diego, we do know transport is a major portion of that, and we're going to, as always, be aggressively working with the South Coast area. And for Imperial, I'm not quite sure what that's going to mean. But I wasn't sure whether you were going to be talking about that, Chuck, but I did want to do that footnote as I go into this. So basically, the fundamental aspect of any program is understanding the problem, having good science as we move forward. Now, I want to caveat that. You can't always, you can never have perfect science. So the Clean Air Act has established aggressive deadlines, and that's pushed the science along. We also have had benefit on the U.S. side and is having a very strong and, we believe, fair regulatory system. We've had creative emission control systems in place, and then economic incentives were very much integrated into the 1990 Clean Air Act, and we believe that has been of great benefit to increasing air quality throughout the United States, but in particular in the border region. But none of this happens without significant public and private investment and partnerships among all the folks. I'm going to go through the next few slides fairly quickly, and then when we get into the question and answer, if people have specific questions, I'd be happy to answer them. But the short story on the federal side over the last two decades is the mobile source sector has become phenomenally cleaner, especially cars. They're 90%, in some cases 99% cleaner than you saw even 10 years ago. So I don't have the charts like Sergio does, but you've seen increase in the number of vehicles and the number of vehicle miles traveled, but the emissions have gone down significantly. That's for the automotive side of things. We have come out with light and heavy duty standards that are going to be implemented over the next 5 to 7 years, and heavy-duty diesel standards, some of which just went into play at the beginning of this month. And we're starting to work on the off-road side of the heavy-duty sector as well. The other thing you've seen happen on the federal side is over the last years, as the new standards have come out, is trying to couple or take more of a systems approach, coming out with new engine standards at the same time we're coming out with new fuel standards. And then just one other footnote I wanted to mention here. We are ever cognizant of our responsibility as a federal agency to work with our sister federal agencies. And, for example, one of the issues that has been highlighted for us in the Imperial County area is the emissions that potentially come from the activities of the customs agents along the border as the tire dragging happens. And so we have just completed a field study to evaluate how much of a problem that is. I can't give you the results yet. It just happened about a month and a half ago. But that's the kind of thing EPA has been investing in over the last 5 to 10 years. The state of California, we're fortunate to live in the state of California because usually the state is ahead of the federal government. That's true on the stationary source side, and the kind of guidelines are established in the BACT guidelines that come out of Sacramento and are given to the districts for implementation. And then on the area source side here, I've just highlighted a few here. Vapor recovery, that's the vapor recovery that happens at fueling stations as well as at gas stations when we go and we fill up our automobiles. There have been excellent control measures proposed for architectural coatings that are now being implemented throughout the state. And for agricultural burning, new standards came out, or new programs came out a few years back, Title 22, that established that that each district would be required to issue permits and that no burn or burn days would be established. When you're looking at prescribed burning, smoke management plans need to be developed. So the state has been very aggressive and assertive in their area source implementation of measures. Mobile sources, of course, California has the authority under the Clean Air Act to establish its own standards. They're generally, again, ahead of the federal government, and so the San Diego and Imperial County areas have had benefit of those programs. There were two specific things that I wanted to highlight here that have been unique that the state has undertaken. One is a pilot in the Tijuana area working with our colleagues at SEMARNAT and in Baja California. Cal EPA, the Bureau of Automotive Repairs, and the City of Tijuana have joined together. They put together a training program to do inspection and maintenance, and the first implementation of this is on the city-owned fleet. So we believe this will provide a model to then be translated to all commercial and private fleets, as well as ultimately moving into the individual automotive cars ownership of individuals. And this could also be translated over into the Mexicali area. Additionally, under state law now, the state conducts heavy-duty diesel inspections. There are full-time employees, full-time crews at both Otay Mesa as well as Calexico. They're inspecting vehicles. And initially, the failure rate was around 50%. Now they're seeing it at around 12%. So these are examples sort of on-the-ground kind of projects. And I do want to just recognize them. I know I've got two state colleagues here today, Ricardo Martinez from Cal EPA. Are you here? Right now in the audience, Ricardo, as well as Neva Sotolongo. Neva. Maybe they've Neva's in the back there. And I'm doing this on purpose because if I get a tough question in the question and answer period, I'm going to call on her for state things. Okay, I want to move on to our local air districts. And this is really where the real action happens on stationary sources. Those of you that have had to get permits know what it's all about. There are the two air pollution control districts, one here in San Diego, as well as one in Imperial County. And this is where technology is really driven. One of the real fundamental aspects of the Clean Air Act is that if you're in an area where the air is polluted or a non-attainment area, you must put on the best technology and offset any new emissions. And this has had great benefit throughout the country and in the northern part of the border, that while, as was pointed out, the stationary sources may not be the largest part of the inventory, it is a significant place to drive technology and to reduce emissions. So we've had great partnerships with our districts in this area. Just one small example of the kind of technology benefits that have or changes that have happened over the last couple decades. It used to be in the 70s pretty common for the best technology for internal combustion engines to be around 180 parts per million. Now you're seeing with selective catalytic reduction, it comes down to 2.5 parts per million. So that's the kind of thing you can see happen. Economic incentive programs, the state has a requirement for the districts to do this. This is a place where creative offsets can be created, and many people here may be familiar with the offsets that were put together for the Otay Mesa power plant, where EPA was able to approve mobile source offsets, mobile source credits to offset the emissions from the Otay Mesa plant, and that was not an insignificant first step. So we've been working closely with our districts on that. The districts work closely with their transportation agencies as the transportation agencies come up with transportation control measures. These are things like enhanced ridership of using mobile or public transportation and so forth. And then lastly, agricultural sources were mentioned by both of the previous speakers, and I can get into this in greater detail if folks are interested, but especially on the particulate matter side of things, it is becoming more and more a sector where we think that there are very cost-effective best management practices that can be put in place in a very collaborative way with the farming sector. We've begun some of those dialogues with the Imperial County folks, and we're hoping that those will be very productive. Also, Imperial County has been pretty progressive in developing controls for off-field roads as well as confined animal feeding operations. And before I move on to the next slide, I do want to recognize my partners from the districts. I see Stephen Birdsall. Steve's up here, and Brad Juarez. And who's here from the San Diego district? Is anyone else here in the back? Andy Hamilton. Thank you, Andy, for being here. Same reason for introducing them. And then just real quickly, on the tribal side, EPA does have a responsibility to ensure that air quality is protected on reservations. There are 22 tribal reservations in the border zone here in California. So we've had an extensive effort underway over the last 5 years to provide funding to our tribal partners, the Native American nations, to start environmental air quality programs. And basically at this point, it's primarily in the monitoring stage, but I did want to put this slide up because I think, again, if you're looking toward the future, they're going to become more and more partners as development is going to be of interest on tribal lands. Okay, want to move into the binational efforts. The La Paz Agreement was the initiator for Mexico and EPA, or the U.S., to formally engage in environmental binational cooperative efforts. And there were two particular annexes that we operate. Annex 4 was specifically designed for copper smelters, not as big of an issue here. And then Annex 5 basically set up the air work group that Sergio and I are co-chairs of. I bring up Annex 4 because that was a very, at least from my perspective, successful effort to target our binational efforts at a large source of sulfur dioxide, and as a result, emissions have been reduced significantly. That may be a model for other sources in the future. We would need to negotiate new annexes. Under Border 21 is what we called it. There have been significant investment of time and effort, not only on the government side, but we've had great involvement by the states as well as by the nonprofit sector. We hold air work group meetings periodically. Our most recent one was in April. Some of you may have attended that meeting. It was held in Mexicali, and it was a workshop focusing on energy facilities and development at the border. A report of that work group meeting will be forthcoming, hopefully within the next month. This was an effort that we were directed to undertake by the Binational Commission, which is headed by the two presidents of our countries. Sergio talked about the monitoring network in Mexico. We're actually very pleased of the partnership that was developed with CARB to install monitors in the Tijuana area, the Mexicali area, and gradually the state of Baja is taking over that monitoring system, and results are coming out. Emissions inventories have been completed south of the border under the Border 21, and there are air quality plans developed for Tijuana, Mexicali, and I know Sergio has copies of these. We've engaged in a number of pilot projects. A congestion study was conducted here in the Tijuana area to look at the congestion, securing commitments from agencies for implementation, and we've been doing this with the Western Governors Association. And then I want to put a little plug in for WGA's Border Energy website that we funded. This, if you aren't familiar with, is a very exciting website, and we can provide the website for you if you're interested, where vendors can publicize or basically lay out what their products are for energy efficiency. And then if you're a facility or an entity that wants to conduct or put in more energy efficient products. You can go into that website and see what the availability is, what the benefits are, and so forth. So it's an interactive site. But those are some examples of the types of projects we funded. We're moving towards the next, phase of the border program, the binational program under the La Paz Agreement. We have a few of these out on the table on the back. This is Border 2012, and it's laying out, given the investment we've made over the last decade on monitoring and the like, what are the next steps? What kind of commitments can we make for implementing environmental protection? And we've been holding a series of public meetings. There are some being held next week in Nogales. There were some held last week in Mexicali. Is that right, Christine? Tribes last week. Anyway, this is going through a series of public meetings. So I urge you to take a look at this and provide comments to ourselves and SEMARNAT. It's going to pave the way for the next generation. In addition to this sort of more on-the-ground approach towards border programs, it also is, and measurable results, is taking more of a regional approach. And so there's going to be a new committee structure established where there will be regional work groups, Baja California, California, Arizona, Sonora, et cetera, as well as our headquarters leading these border-wide air fora. So we're hoping that there'll be great results from this. And again, if you'd like more information, let us know. Public comments are due November 22nd. Just wanted to put in a little note here. We, within EPA, have realized over the last year that when you're talking about environmental and energy and environmental issues, it really is conducive to a tri-national strategy. So we have drafted some principles that we're starting to work with our colleagues in Canada and in Mexico to determine whether there can be agreement on a tri-national strategy. The principles are laid out here, really improving the exchange of information, integrating energy and environmental goals, enhancing the coordination of planning and management, and here we're really looking at the local level, and then encouraging innovations such as having binational trading or perhaps even trinational trading as Ed would be appropriate. We would also anticipate that this trinational strategy would have some additional local pilot projects. So I offer this as an idea. Again, it's something we can talk a bit more about, but whenever you're talking energy and the environment and North America, there is some benefit of bringing our Canadian partners into that dialogue. So now on to innovations. The first two really relate to offsets and emission reduction credits. I've already talked about the Otay Mesa mobile source idea. I have down here interpollutant. It's probably more accurate to put down inter-precursor trading. In California, many of you may be aware, we're experiencing a very big shortage of potential offsets for new sources, so there are new creative ideas coming out all over the place. There is, I think, great potential for furthering the dialogue and understanding what will be needed for cross-border offsets. And again, that's something we can discuss further. New technologies, I've listed them here. The list could continue on. I think there's great promise for fuel cells, and you're seeing much more and more interest on the private investment side of things for fuel cells. Cleaner fuels, that was mentioned earlier, alternative energy sources, especially in places like you can see what people use for fuel sources in Mexicali, and I think there could be great benefit by having some cleaner fuel energy sources there. Talked a bit about road dust controls and agricultural best management practices, and there obviously is a need for consistent energy and environmental policies, et cetera, and I'll just let you read the rest of these. It's pretty similar to my previous comments about Border 21. So my last slide here, potential funding sources. NADBANK is the North American Development Bank. This was established under NAFTA. And for the first time this year, their criteria have been expanded to include projects for air quality. Heretofore, the primary investment has been on the water quality side. So we're very much going to be needing the help of you all to identify projects where NADBANK can come in and provide loans to various entities to conduct environmental projects for the purposes of air quality benefits. For example, we know that they're currently reviewing a $17 million proposal for addressing road dust concerns in the Nogales area. WGA, Western Governors Association, is also doing a study to determine what type of energy efficiency projects could be funded by NADBANC. So that's going to be a growing sector. Nonprofits and foundations continue to see a benefit of providing funding. The Sierra Club just recently announced funding for a local environmental group to provide funding for them and so forth. And then just lastly here, I want to talk, and maybe during questions and answers if people are interested, the U.S. Farm Bill that was just recently passed has great potential funding for agricultural sources. And I'm pleased to announce that for the first time out of California, standards have been provided for farmers to receive funding to convert their dirty diesel irrigation pumps to clean irrigation pumps. This is the first time this has ever happened. And there are whole aspects of the Farm Bill where there's great potential there for some government investment for the farming sector. And then just lastly, supplemental environmental projects are those projects that can come through various enforcement actions. So bottom line, clean air can be achieved as the economy grows. There are a number of aspects of it, and I'll be open to questions. Thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.